The following presentation is brought to you by Rant Entertainment Media. For the entertainment you love and the opinions and history you crave, visit rantenradio.com. The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment. Every week, The Shining Wizards is brought to you free of charge, and we thank you for listening. But if you'd like to help support the show in other ways, here's a few things that you can do to help. Go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a review. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and shop the way you usually do. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy some of our merchandise, visit prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards or shiningwizards.com/merch and purchase one of our t-shirts or some of our other great stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Become our friend on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Check out our Instagram photos at Wizards Podcast. And for all our videos, visit youtube.com/TheShiningWizards. The Shining Wizards is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, The Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, and Tuesdays live at 7 p.m. East on SWLive.net and RantEMRadio.com. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
Hey everyone, this is Justin from Inconclusive Breakdown, and you are listening to The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
It's Thursday, and Jinder Mahal is your WWE champion. Welcome to the Shining Wizards. Well, the Shining Wizard, as it is. I'm Tony, and they've actually let me out on work release tonight. Got out of work early, and I said, you know something? We are not going to go a week without providing some sort of entertainment for you guys. And I checked the Rant EM radio schedule, which we're still not on, Drew. You got to put us on there, by the way. I've been meaning to tell you that. But regardless, before the Rant and Wrestling goes on tonight at 9 o'clock, I figured let me jump in, test out the equipment because it's been a while. And it seems like everything's been working. But I'm here all alone, and I've got a confession to make. I have not been watching wrestling with any frequency over the past 6-7 weeks. I can't remember the last time I actually did a show. I'm pretty sure it was a solo. And I felt kind of bad because I put word out there tonight that I might be available. And Eddie just propositioned me for sex. And Kevin did offer to come, but it's one of those situations where I was trying to run out of work and just trying to get something out there. And of course, I hit him up and he was on his way out, probably to the hat. I wouldn't blame him. I would probably go there myself if I were him. And this is where I am right now. I am in front of my laptop talking to you. I am live. The Shining Wizards is live on rantemradio.com. Welcome to everyone listening in podcast form. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself. Hopefully you're enjoying the nice weather. Stupid me runs out last night, puts the sprinkler on when I got home from work to keep the lawn nice and watered. And 20 minutes later, the skies opened up and it was a torrential downpour. So yay, stupid me. You might be wondering where I've been, maybe not, but long story short, I've been working a lot of crazy hours. I just found out that they were letting us go a little early today, so that's why I had time to do this, but it seems like as one door closes, another opens. I don't know how that adage works. Or as we take part in some noble things, we leave some other noble things behind, and hopefully the schedule's going to be working out, and we are back all together in studio on Tuesday, but We will cross that bridge when we get to it. Like I said, I haven't really been watching the wrestling, but I do know that Jinder Mahal is your WWE champion. And that's about all I know. And to be honest with you, I watched Fastlane, where that all went down. And I watched Randy Orton destroy the Mahal twins, or whatever they're calling those guys. And I'm annoyed that JBL keeps calling him the modern-day Maharaja. Yes, we get it. That's the nickname we're going with. You don't need to say it 4,000 times to try to get it over. I think 4 or 5 times was enough. But I got to tell you, I'm really happy. I'm happy they're doing something different. I'm happy that Jinder was able to step up. And I don't see really anything wrong with it. I mean, I've heard the argument made where Jinder was losing up to this point. I know this is way outdated, but I felt the need to speak on this a little bit because I am a fan of what they're doing with Jinder Mahal. But, you know, the argument was that Jinder really wasn't winning too much, and then they thrust him into this situation where he becomes the number one contender and he wins the title. But how many of the other guys that they rack up the wins and then they wind up sending him on a losing streak anyway? So it's 50-50. What the fuck's the difference? It's something new. I'm into it. I'm sure lots of other people are into it. Hopefully they don't shit the bed like they did with Bray Wyatt, Jack Swagger, and a few of the other people, Dolph Ziggler, where they just put the title on him for a few days. Or God forbid they treat him like an afterthought like they did to JBL or CM Punk. But folks, let's just keep an open mind. And maybe I did lie. I have been watching a little bit of wrestling. I did catch the Table for Three, which, look, let's not coat anything. Michael P.S. Hayes was only there to make sure that Jim Cornette and Eric Bischoff didn't kill each other. But actually, it was quite entertaining. It's only about 20 minutes, which I was very disappointed in. And let's go back to the very first episode. It was Mean Gene, Roddy Piper, and Paul Orndorff. And if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's rose-colored glasses, but they fucking talked for 45 minutes. It was a long show, but it was completely entertaining from bell to bell. Why only give Jim Cornette and Eric Bischoff 19 minutes? That's a tragedy. You've got Eric Bischoff back for the Hall of Fame. You got Jim Cornette back for the Hall of Fame. And I understand you want to do things with these guys, but come on. I would expect, look, Jim Cornette can't go more than 4 hours. You know what I'm saying? Like less than 4 hours, I should say. Like you ask him one question, you can't shut him up for that long. How do you cut them down to 20 minutes? But don't get me wrong, it's highly entertaining. I recommend you checking it out. Jim tells the story about putting a booger on Eric Bischoff's windshield of his car, which is pretty funny in and of itself. And the two of them actually have quite a bonding moment where they both show their disdain for one Vince Russo. Hey, anybody who hates Vince Russo is a fan I'm a fan of. So two guys that made me very happy. And I guess that's all I have to say about that. Something that I haven't touched on in a while. I know they didn't renew Holy Foley, and I know we talked about it and how it wasn't a great show. Don't get me wrong, Mick Foley's a friend of the show, but you know, the way it was done was kind of at least to me. But I can tell you one thing. I spent quite a few evenings having dinner with my son watching Holy Foley. And I've tried to get him into wrestling. He's sort of into it. He's the reason that I beat the traffic every time we've gone to see wrestling. Well, most of the time. The other time was a John Cena Rock main event, which I won't talk about, but Eddie knows what I'm talking about. But there were some days where I came home and you know, picked him up from school, how was school, and, you know, the usual father-son exchange of pleasantries before we get into fights and aggravation over homework. And he said to me, he said, can we watch Holy Foley while we have dinner? I'm like, kid, we watched all the episodes. We burned through the entire season already. He goes, well, when is it coming back? Kid, it's not. Well, Daddy, why isn't it coming back? Because Vince McMahon hates Mick Foley. It's the only thing I could think of. I don't know. Try to be honest with the kid. I've been catching up somewhat on old episodes of The Shining Wizards. I haven't had a chance to listen to Chris Jericho and Rip Rogers yet, but I know Matt's going to be like, what the fuck? But anytime you have either one of those guys on your show, it's a good time. They're both returned for back-to-back appearances on the same episode. So that's in the queue. Got to check that out. I started listening to the recent episode with Kevin telling his masturbatory tales. Maybe that should be a new feature on the show. Jerking off with Kevin. Seems like he's always jerking off. And he's going to go, what are you talking about? I only jerked off. Yeah, all right, relax, whatever. I can tell you're on the dial. Our stable mates over at the Neckbreaker podcast. Those guys cut a deal with Blog Talk Radio. And not the, hey, this is Blog Talk Radio. I'm recording from my mother's phone in my kitchen. No, like legit fucking sounds great, looks great. These guys got advertising, fucking major props to those guys. Phil Rea was damn near dead, but him and Choppy are back on the wagon doing great things with Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Nigel McGuinness, you would think fame is getting to his head. No. He's still putting out great stuff with My Unconventional Life, Dave Destruction rocking it every week, with tales behind the scenes of independent wrestling. Justin Anderson and the boys. Oh, brother. What a surprise we've got here. Ladies and gentlemen, a man who needs no introduction joining me as I kick it solo old school. KG, and I don't mean Kevin Garifo. What up, Kevin Gill? How you doing, brother?
What up, though, Tony? What an honor it is to be shining it up here on the Shining Wizards Podcasting Emporium. It's more than a network. It's really an emporium of greatness.
My friend, I really appreciate you calling tonight. As I said at the top of the show, we've been trying to keep it real for the past 313 episodes, providing content to the people. I was afraid I was going to be steering this ship all by myself. But, sir, no better first mate than the great Kevin Gill. How have you been, my friend? It's been a long time since we've spoken.
Absolutely, man. Just, you know what I'm saying, the usual grind, just grinding it up every week. I have the opportunity to work with Conan and Disco Inferno on the Jericho Network on Podcast One, as incredible as all that sounds. And we have a show called Keeping It 100, you know, so we do that every week. We just dropped a new episode today with Ron Funches and Joey Ryan and Juventud Guerrera and Shane Helms and on and on and on. And then every week doing the Kevin Gill show. And I've been doing a lot of wrestling commentary all over the independents and out here in California especially. So stuff's going really good, man. I'm just continuing to try to find more hours in the day somehow. So I wish I could make another one of myself to do more shit or stuff, as the case may be.
I feel that completely, brother. I feel that completely. Let me ask you a question. You've been doing commentary for a long time. I've been doing commentary myself locally with Tier 1 Wrestling. How do you feel? Do you feel like you've been progressing with doing it? Like, have you had a chance to learn, like, you know, under the wing of some great people? Have you been going back and studying some tapes? Let me in. So this way, maybe I could better my game as well.
I'm really fortunate to have worked with so many great people. You know what I mean? My primary commentary partner is Shaggy Two-Dope and Violent J from Insane Clown Posse. We do a commentary trio, and just working, those guys are like improv comedy geniuses, and the way they're able to call wrestling, you know what I mean, is like nobody else. So working with those guys, you learn and get to sharpen and hang with a whole different set of and different type of skills than you do calling shows with like Lars Fredriksson from Rancid or Matt Stryker from Lucha Underground or Mick Foley, you know, who I did a pay-per-view with, like things like that. I learned incredible things from, but I also try to watch whatever I can and people that I hear are good, you know what I mean? And things like that, or people that I like, you know, there's always someone good in the mix, even on a bad team sometimes, you know what I mean? But I try to just, and old stuff too, and to hear what works and what doesn't work. Sometimes eliminating what doesn't work is almost equally as important as doing what does work, you know?
No, of course. No doubt. I find myself going back, and I think, you know, because I grew up watching wrestling, you know, 80s and 90s. So I go back and I try to listen to the banter between, you know, like Gorilla Monsoon and, say, Jesse Ventura or even Bobby Heenan. And I even go old school NWA and, you know, a little bit of Gordon Soley. I'm even into like Tony Schiavone, Jim Ross. Like, I try to run the gamut and just, you know, pick and choose what worked and what didn't work for those guys, you know? I don't want to
right off- and bring and make it your own. That whole sonic stew can become your own thing. Like, it's one thing, a lot of people fall into the just directly quoting other commentators. Do you know what I mean? When I think it's much better to like have that energy. Like I just heard this week on the opening of Keeping It 100, it starts off with a segment from WCW Nitro where like Tony Schiavone is, you know, kind of talking over the end of the ring music. And then like Conan kind of cuts it off and cuts a promo. But just that little hype that Tony Schiavone does for like 30 seconds as each match is like the, you know, the entrance music is playing and he's putting everything over in such an exciting way. And you feel like you're watching something special and it feels real. You know what I mean? And that's something he's just so good at. And that might be a talent that's very unique to him specifically, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something I just heard today.
And there's stuff that, you know, the modern guys have been doing that I like to pick apart as well. Like I try not to copy. Like I don't want to try to sound like I'm doing commentary for say NXT or SmackDown or something like that. I like to see where those guys go and then like you said, just pick it apart and like make it my own. You know, throw my own little spin on it. Not trying to come up with catchphrases, but just trying to put that little bit of a twist on it. So when you tune in and you hear me, you know, like, hey, this is Tony's deal. It's not, you know, Tony copying somebody else or trying to emulate somebody else.
100%. And also it's important to call, you know, to call the product that the show is. Like some people want it to be NXT or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, but it's like a slow paced family show. And to me, you should call a show the way it is, so to speak, and represent it and polish it and enhance it and shine it the best way you possibly can. But let it. It has to be what it is. You can't, when you try to make it something that it's not, I think you have no credibility then as an announcer. You know, and the audience doesn't want to hear you. You know, and it's always a fine line. Because yeah, there's ways little catchphrases that become just like Mauro, you know, Ranallo and everybody else, Jim Ross. You can have cool little catchphrases that draw people in, or it becomes a little moment that happens in a way to convey an emotion, and that's great. And then it's always a fine line between people who get caught up in trying to make the whole commentary thing about them putting themselves over, you know what I mean? Which then detracts from the real gig, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I find the one thing that it's becoming second nature, but the one thing that I always consciously try to put out there is no matter if it's a guy that's virtuous, if it's a bad guy, I always try to make them sound like as over as possible. Even when I see stuff that didn't go quite so well in the ring, I always try to put a little bit of a shine or a polish on it, you know, say like, well, he wasn't exactly going for that, but it still worked, you know, kind of putting that little spin on it, you know, try to make these guys look as good as possible. So this way, when people are watching, they say, hey, you know what? This is a pretty damn good show, regardless of where they are on the fence, either they're good guys or bad guys.
100%. And that's an important distinction that you made too, because sometimes when something is really visibly off, and especially if you know the camera shot it and got it, and you almost have to say something, because otherwise, and like you said, things like that, you know, he didn't get all of that one, you know, maybe got it with a glancing blow, a little might be enough, you know, there's a lot of places you can go with it that acknowledge it, but not acknowledge it in a like, oh, wow, you fucked up that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you're on a show where it's like that sort of insane party atmosphere. Like, I work on those kind of shows, too. You know what I mean? But I'm talking like traditional, you know what I'm saying, traditional wrestling commentary.
No, no doubt. And I mean, you mentioned, you know, you've called with Violent J, you've called with Shaggy. I mean, there's got to be situations where you lose it when these guys are just calling things for as bad as they are and just, you know, completely making fun of them. Is it hard for you, like, to transition between one and the other? Like, you know, just sitting there with your boys and having fun and picking on everything and making fun of things, whereas, you flip the script and you turn to, you know, like you said, something more family-friendly, something more like, you know, I don't want to use the word mainstream, but something more like, you know what I'm getting at. I just can't find the words for it. Do you find it hard, like, to kind of flip that switch?
No, to me, it's pretty easy just because, like I said, it's all about feeling the environment and the place that you're at and calling what's there instead of what you want it to be. You know what I mean? So you know when you're at the show where there's super family-friendly angles, sometimes it's fun to just have that creative exercise of being like, okay, on Sunday, I'm over the PA at a 21 and over show that in addition to having some bomb-ass matches also has like a Braun Panties match and like Foxy Bartenders and all these things, you know what I mean? And that's anything goes in terms of what I can say. But then 2 days before, I was working for All Pro Wrestling for a live stream they did, out here in California, and that was just, you know, like straight contemporary wrestling product. You know what I mean? No profanity, no allusions to, you know what I'm saying? Stuff that's outside of like the core product. You know what I mean? We have some fun, we have some laughs, there's some drama, you know, there's everything. But that, to me, that's what it's all about. You know what I mean?
No doubt at all. You mentioned some bra and panties matches. Boy, that's something I haven't seen in a damn long time. Are those still as fun as they used to be?
The audience loved it, and the performers seemed to be very comfortable with themselves. I could say that.
That sounds like a winning formula to me, my friend.
Yeah, that was for the Underground Wrestling Alliance, UGWA. They run these crazy shows. Techno Destructo from GWAR wrestled in the main event, but also some standout female wrestlers. This wasn't the bra and panties match. They had a traditional women's match for Holodead versus Shotzi Blackheart. And Finn was in that. You know, it was just a good time, man. They run a real wild product, and they film the shows like film kind of quality. So it takes them like a month or two, but the shows come out online, and it's quite a journey. You know what I mean? It's definitely worth checking out.
No doubt at all, man. No doubt at all. Let me ask you a question. So you've been doing podcasting for quite a while. You've got quite a few shows in the hopper. You've been doing commentary. Did you ever think, even like a couple years ago, that you would have blown up and have gotten as big as you are right now, like in the industry? Because, I mean, you know, I remember 5 years ago when we were starting out, you know, we were just a couple guys hanging out. We just wanted to talk wrestling and have some fun. And, you know, we've grown. I mean, not to the degree that KG has grown, mind you, but did you ever, like you look back even a year or two ago and you go, like, damn, look how far I came. Like, do you still just sit back and take it all in? Or are you just like, yeah, you know what? This is where I am and I deserve to be here. Like, what's the feeling like for you now and as far as you've come?
Well, I mean, sometimes there's moments that are just like, wow, this feels so cool. You know, like a few weeks ago, you know, just walking down the aisle of the legendary Cow Palace in San Francisco, you know what I mean? What a long aisle it is, you know, and walking out there and doing commentary on an entire show. And then, you know, Pat Patterson is at the timekeeper's table right next to commentary, watching the whole show and popping for everything. And I was like, wow, this feels like surreal. Like I'm in an arena, like an arena that I've been to, like to see WWE in, but I'm on commentary. You know what I mean? So moments like that, you know, working at the Gathering and all the Gathering of the Juggalos, you know, all these things are just like incredible moments. A lot of times it's just when you're involved in it and you're independent and it's like, you know, I wish I had like management and a booking agent and a PR person and all these things and had some giant company pushing me. You know what I mean? But I'm just a DIY, like New York hardcore kid from Queens, New York. You know what I mean? Now, in of all places, doing wrestling commentary out of San Francisco. So it's kind of like you're always just trying to keep somehow pushing forward and trying to move things up at all times. So sometimes you don't even really get a sense of where you're at necessarily, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So how long have you been out in San Francisco now?
Oh man, like over a decade.
So it's been that long. I tell you know why I ask? It's just like I talk to you and like you always say, like, you know, you're just a kid from, you know, from New York and you haven't lost it, which is awesome. There's so many guys like from this area, you know, from New York City area that like, you know, I always talk to them and they always have like that New York sound. They always have like that New York cred and I can still hear it in you, man. Like it's just amazing. You've been out there for so long. Let me ask you this. Being out there, is there anything that you would recommend people to go do or to go see outside of wrestling? Like you've been there long enough, you become part of the community, you know, as it were. What's there? Like, I'm a guy from New York. I come out to San Francisco. I want to see some wrestling. I want to do the KG day. What is there for me to do out there?
Well, let's see. I mean, to start, wrestling wise, you know, there's All Pro Wrestling runs here in San Francisco. They're great. There's Pro Wrestling Revolution, who runs San Francisco and surrounding. There's Gold Rush Pro Wrestling in Pacifica, the Underground Wrestling Alliance in San Jose. And those, you know, there's more, but those are like the places I work at and am affiliated with and endorse, you know. And then outside of wrestling, there's a lot of cool stuff, man. Like one thing that's a straight tourist thing, but it's awesome, it's the best tourist thing I think here is the Alcatraz tour. And the mistake a lot of people make is they don't book it in advance, or they think they can just walk up and do it. That shit sells out like every day. They have like calendar pages on the website for you to go through and see which days have any tickets left. So you can buy them way in advance. They're not expensive at all. And I also recommend you get this audio add-on thing so you can listen. And they have all this audio recorded by the prisoners, you know what I mean? Like narrating you and like guiding you through the rooms. And, you know, you pause it in between stuff so you can soak stuff to take it in. But to me, it's very, very eerie and surreal. And that whole place has a very weird vibe to it. And besides that, I would say go see a hardcore show at the Parkside, like when Nick Powerhouse promotes and brings in all the New York hardcore bands like the Cro-Mags and Sick of It All and Madball and Agnostic Front and all that. I love that all that shit goes on here in San Fran on the regular. And then what else? I don't know. Those are some good things to start.
How's the New York hardcore received over there? Is it the same kind of vibe? Everybody's into it. Is it ingrained? Like when say Madball's coming out, or is everybody like, oh shit, Madball's coming? Like what's it feel like there? Is it the same response as it is back east?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like every show is sold out. You know what I mean? So it'll just be sold out in advance. There'll be a lot of people that are former New Yorkers and or surroundings, but then there's also a huge, you know, following for it out here, and not just in San Francisco. It's Sacramento, it's Oakland, it's Stockton, it's everywhere. So, you know what? I shared a car ride the other day. It was me and Yoshi Tatsu.
That's amazing.
And I'm making, and it's just me and him and our friend Mike who runs Stockton Con. Mike's driving us to the show. And I met Yoshi once before in Japan. Like, I actually went out for sushi with him and Rocky Romero and the Bullet Club guys. And which is, that's like, so just to say that, those are the moments that I'm like, wow, this is like the coolest thing ever. But I met him then. But so we were making small talk in the car. So I started talking about music. And he says he likes Metallica, you know? And I'm like, oh, what else do you like? Other heavy music? Like, what else do you like? And he's like, oh, yes, yes. And then I'm like, oh, I like hardcore. I like Sick of It All and Gorilla Biscuits and whatever. And then he's like, oh, hardcore, like Madball. I'm like, yes, like Madball. And he's like, and then he's showing me his phone, and his phone is all full of music by Sick of It All, Madball, Hatebreed, just all the essential New York hardcore shit. You know what I mean? And then I played Madball on my iPod in the car.
That's fucking awesome.
Of Mike from Stockton Con.
That is fucking amazing. You just never know, man. You never know. You never know when the dude next to you is just completely into the same things that you are. That's fucking cool as hell.
And then we had something to talk about the whole car ride, you know what I mean? Just like our various memories of shows we went to. And he would have so many questions about like lyrics and, did you ever see this band? Like, what, you know what I mean? And it's just so cool to have that. Here's like a pro wrestler from Japan who came up through the New Japan Dojo system and, you know, was over here in LA and working on the G1 USA, you know, behind the scenes and all that. And I love that the dude's like listening to fucking hardcore every day, you know?
Completely awesome. Completely awesome. So you've been in quite a few locker rooms lately, you know, getting to know the boys, doing the commentary. You got any behind the scenes stories that you could share? Something that maybe is not going to get anybody in trouble that maybe popped you really hard?
Let me think. It's tough because usually like I'm on commentary. So like the whole time I'm, you know, once the show starts, sometimes I have to run back, but let me think.
No, I hear you. I know what it's like being stuck in the booth for 3 hours. It's sometimes when you really got to piss, it's not the greatest thing in the world.
Right, or intermission gets, like, I had the privilege of sitting with, they put my merch set up with Kevin Sullivan's merch set up at the Cow Palace, and that's a good thing. So in other words, it was me, Kevin Sullivan, and the Tonga Kid sitting at a merch table together with our stuff, and I just got to sit there with Kevin Sullivan. And I sat there with them right up until bell time. Like, I literally went from the merch table with Kevin Sullivan to the commentary table. You know what I mean? And started the show.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then intermission, I went back. And then, yeah, so that was crazy for me. You know what I mean? But I was just blown away that people wanted to buy my shirts. You know what I mean? and everyone who would come up, Kevin Sullivan would put me over to them. Like, you know who this is? This is Kevin Gill right here. This kid, you know what I mean? And he would just go, he's like just saying all these nice things. And it's like, man, this is the craziest shit ever. Like, Kevin Sullivan is an icon. You know what I mean?
That could be the greatest story ever. Like, you just got to sit back and take that in. It's just amazing. You know what I really popped? It was there were a couple times when we would do the conventions out here in Jersey, the WrestleCon, not the WrestleCon, the conventions in Monroe at the Crown Plaza, and we started getting friendly with Jim Cornette, and of course, you know, he likes to get there early. He drives everywhere, so you know he's down bright and early. He's setting up. We're setting up. He just stops, looks over, and he goes, "Well, holy shit, the Shining Wizards are here all for early." I thought that was cool as hell. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, Jim Cornette, like bright and early in the morning, recognizes us and you know, like puts the shine on us, lets us know that he knows that
right.
We're there.
And it's just friendly and inclusive. You know what I mean?
Just completely one awesome. Time, I know. I'd turn around to him and I'd say to him, you know, hey, did you catch Vince Russo's podcast last night? He'd turn around and go, you know, I haven't even had my goddamn coffee. He gets so pissed off.
Right, you come at him with a Russo question.
Come on, man. I had to.
Those guys should just settle it on a podcast pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I know why he's pissy. I know why Russo's pissy. But, hey, man, it's more entertaining to me. As long as these two guys really don't wind up killing each other, I'm all in.
Well, Vince Russo apparently keeps changing his living location, so maybe that's to stay one step ahead.
Well, if it's not within driving distance, he doesn't have to worry about Cornette finding him because he ain't getting on a plane to go bother him.
Right.
Amazing stuff. So what are you doing tonight? How do you have time to call in? I know you're so damn busy. What do you got in the hopper further tonight? You got anything going on?
Well, one, I have mad love for the Shining Wizards Podcasting Network, and Shining Wizards always shows mad love to me and everything I work on and whatever. And sometimes I see you guys doing stuff that I want to participate in, but like I forget or I'm too busy or whatever. So I literally just hung up the phone with Conan and I got that notification that you were doing the show tonight. And I was like, oh shit. And then I was like, wait a minute, is this like a new notification? Cause you know how that shit goes. So, but it was, I was like, no, this is from 1 minute ago. So I'm like, all right, cool. But what am I doing before I was calling into the Shining Wizard? I'm actually writing the intro for the new book in the Dropkick Depression series, which I don't know if you guys know about, but Jeff Cannonball and Tara Calloway and a lot of people out of the New Jersey area,
yeah,
and beyond independent wrestlers put together this book series. This is the second one, and it's all like stories contributed by wrestlers who have struggled with depression or their stories about it, and etc. And I know that Brutal Bob Evans is writing the outro, and your boy KG has been tasked with writing the intro. And I was supposed to have it written several days ago, and I have not written it yet. I have not yet, like, just typed the first, you know, made a Microsoft Word document or whatever, and then called it the intro and saved it. I have not even taken that crucial step. And that's so when I woke up out of bed today, I'm like, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer from it. I always appreciate you calling in, Kevin. Mad love, you know that. You know all four of us guys. Mad respect for what you do. Mad love for everything you're involved in. And you as a person, my brother. Before I let you go, throw the plugs out there because I know you're used to doing this, so it should be old hat to you.
My plugs get quite lengthy, but if the audience will indulge me, I'll start right off with the most important thing, the Kevin Gill Show. Is the place where you get weekly in-person interviews, like 60 minutes, full-length, Colt Cabana style, face-to-face, right there. We are the show that is too hype for Skype. But this week, I went up to Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and sat inside the legendary Lance Storm Wrestling Academy and interviewed Lance for a real fun talk that takes you through the ECW days and a whole bunch more. And the back catalog runs deep, you know what I mean? Before that, it was Rocky Romero. Before that, it was John Morrison and Matt Stryker and the Rock and Roll Express and Rob Van Dam. That was our WrestleCon Super Show, which was insane. And those are all up on iTunes and Audio Boom. And over at DignifiedBastard.com, that's where you got all the KG merch and everything happening. Those are limited run right now, and there's an incredibly appealing price-value combo pack where you get both for one low price. So please hit up DignifiedBastard.com and buy as many as you can. They make a great graduation gift. I'm on all social media at OG Kevin Gill and at Kevin Gill Show, Instagram, Facebook, yada, yada, yada. Check out Keep It at 100 with Conan and my new series, But I Digress, on the High Spots Wrestling Network. First episode is out now. It's featuring Johnny Morrison, a.k.a. Johnny Mundo. We go through his movie. We go through his career. We have a lot of fun. And this session, interview session, was so hot fire, it instantly launched a series with the High Spots Wrestling Network. And it's $9.99 a month. You get a whole library of content. My original show is just one of countless original shows they have in the back catalog of the Kevin Steen Show and on. But that High Spots Wrestling Network is the place. And, of course, the Gathering of the Juggalos is coming to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Unprecedented. JCW will be in action. KG and Shaggy Tudo providing the commentary. Insane Clown Posse and many more on the stage. That's going on at the end of July. Check out juggalogathering.com. And much love to everyone out there who supports, listens to, and spreads the word. And most importantly, buys the T-shirts of the Shining Wizards podcast, because you can buy those T-shirts at the same place you can buy mine. In addition to my store, Dignified Bastard, I got exclusive dope designs at Pro Wrestling Tees, just like Shining Wizards, Tony.
No doubt. And I just wanted to add one thing. If you want to check out the new show, But I Digress, on the High Spots Network, you go over there, and if you put in the code WIZARDS in all caps, you'll get your first month free. So if you have any doubts, you could put it on us. That $9.95 coming out for that first month is on us. Check out KG. Check out their entire old library. It's over 2,000 hours of archived and fresh entertainment for your listening pleasure, and that includes our boy Kevin Gill. Kevin, brother, I appreciate this wholeheartedly, 100%. Thanks for calling in. Now get back to that work and get that shit done on time, my friend.
Or late on time. Thank you, man. Much love.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
Peace.
Now, that was amazing. And I'm sure that you've noticed a few times there were some beeps coming through. But I need to have an apology right now. So on the line, I'm going to try to call my brother-in-arms, Mr. Kevin Garifo, Shining Wizards Kevin, and I have to explain myself to him. So I'm going to peel back the fifth wall for you guys. But Kevin Gill, make sure you support everything he does. OG always supports us, always shows us mad loves. Nothing but respect for that guy and everything he does and everything he's done. And of course, now Kevin's not going to answer. Oh, well, I tried. Maybe he'll call back. I don't like to leave the phone ringing like that, but I tried. Anyway, Skype does not like me tonight. Skype usually has the blue S down below in my bar on my MacBook. And tonight, for some reason, my Skype icon is the text editor icon. And as I'm on Skype, there is a button while I'm on the phone with Kevin Gill that the other KG is calling in. And the button says, add to call. And when I click add to call, all I hear is panting and no Kevin Gill. Fucking Skype. I apologize, Kevin Garifo. I have to say Kevin Garifo because otherwise people think I'm apologizing to Kevin Gill, and I'm sorry for cutting off your plugs too, my friend. Let me see if there's any questions in the queue before we call this a night. I hate you. Okay, that's from Kevin. Yes, I know you do, and I apologize profusely. Maybe he'll get the story and maybe he's listening. A question from Justin Anderson, who I was plugging. He's got a great interview this week. His first interview ever on the Inconclusive Breakdown. And I can tell you who it's from, but let me read his question. What wrestlers should never speak and have managers do it for them, and who should those managers be? Good question. Are there even managers anymore? I mean, there's James Ellsworth, who's just kind of like a boy toy. But there, no. Who can I... I can't think of any manager. All right. Is Shane Helms technically a manager? I don't know. What wrestlers should never speak? That's kind of hard to say. I mean, obviously Brock Lesnar should probably never speak. The few times he has spoken, he's not really done so well. So having Paul Heyman as his advocate really makes a lot of sense. Usually the people that shouldn't speak aren't really speaking at this point, right? Ah, you know who shouldn't speak? The Usos. The Usos should have a mouthpiece. Probably when what's-her-name comes back. Is Naomi married to one of them? I don't know. Whichever Funkadactyl is married to the one of them, she should probably be the mouthpiece. But she should yell a lot. They need somebody that yells. Like Lana. Lana was pretty good as a mouthpiece. Maybe bring back Vicky Guerrero. Now that's somebody I could get behind as a mouthpiece. Oh, brother. Let me see if there's anything in the news that I should touch on. Oh, if you are fans of McBain, Mendoza, Raul Mendoza is coming back. He was in the Cruiserweight Classic. WWE signed him. I guess he's going to be, are they doing another Cruiserweight Classic this year? I know they're doing a Mae Young Invitational thing, and I guess that makes sense to name it after Mae Young. I mean, give her some credit. Ah, here we go. My brother in arms, I apologize profusely. I just explained to the five people that are listening that I did try to add you twice to the call with Kevin Gill. Unfortunately, my Skype is fucked up. The text editor icon is at the bottom of the screen instead of the Skype icon. So you can be proud that while I was trying to add you, I cut off Kevin Gill not once, but twice. So my apologies. How are you tonight, Kevin?
You're a disaster. Not only could you not add me to the call, you cut off our good brother Kevin Gill twice.
Not once, but twice, and once during the middle of plugs, because I was trying to be a good wizard, hoping that you would maybe have a question with him before I said goodbye. But it is what it is. Holy shit! Look, Kevin Gill is one of those calls where once it comes in, everything else kind of has to get thrown out the window. You know what I'm saying?
No, not one of the hosts.
Well, I tried, bro. Honest to God, I tried. I tried my best. And I didn't want to sit here going type to explain, because that would have made it a million times worse. But if you listen back to this, I profusely apologize to you. I put you over as best as I could. Speaking of putting you over, Kevin, do you have any plugs tonight?
Ah, man, one day too late.
Fuck.
I was out in the city the other night at the Stand in New York, but that's fine. June 11th, my birthday show in Montclair, New Jersey. June 11th, Tierney's in Montclair. Come out and celebrate with your boy. Come on now.
That would be an epic evening. Please join Kevin. It's a great time at Tierney's. Check him out on Sunday night, June 11th. That's next Sunday, not this Sunday. I've been filibustering, and I was trying to scam a little bit to see if there's anything in the news, because quite honest with you, I haven't really been watching that much wrestling, bro. Do you have anything that you could give us in terms of news and whatnots in the next few minutes before we give way to the Rant's regular programming?
Well, first and foremost, I was beyond confused as to what you were going to possibly talk about. I wanted to know what is told. Like, you've been so busy. Matt's been so busy. Eddie's been so busy. I've been so busy. What the fuck were you going to fill airtime with? What have you been filling airtime with?
I talked about Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal.
Dude, I even opened up with some Dollar Mendy to set the tone.
Awesome. Well, hey, you have Extreme Rules on Sunday. You have, I was at House of Glory on Saturday night, which was a fantastic show once again. Amazing Red made his return to House of Glory, and it looks like we're going to be seeing Amazing Red back in the ring. XL made his return to the ring that night. Cody Rhodes was in action against Anthony Gangone. Our boys LAX, DYFBO, took on Red Dragon.
Oh, what was that match like? Out. What was that like? Tag match.
It was fantastic. The card, top to bottom, was great. Homicide had an impromptu match, which I retweeted the fuck out of that show and tweeted the show. Uh, I couldn't tell you what the heck happened on it, to be honest with you, now, but I know I had a good time. So, I was at House of Glory. EYFBO versus Red Dragon was the shit. It was amazing. Like, every match on that show was, like, at the very least, really good. So, it's just goes to show you that company is thriving. Bret Hart will be there on August 18th. So, there's that.
That sounds like an awesome time, though, bro. Let me ask you this. Amazing Red and Brian XL, didn't they have... were they the two that had the beef that forced Brian to retire?
Yes, but they were in two different segments, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't think their paths crossed on the show. I could be wrong, but I don't. But I think Amazing Red came in after the Gangone Cody Rhodes match, and XL and Evander James thing was separate.
I don't think they've
crossed paths yet.
So let me ask you this. I haven't really been keeping up on Impact either. Big surprise. I know they're heading...
It's on right now.
Cheap plug. But right. The question I wanted to ask you is, I know that they're due to go over to India, or they're in India. Are any of our local fellas joining them on that tour, do you know?
They just got back from India today.
Okay.
KM was there. He was on the trip. Kevin Matthews, WrestlePro, WrestlePROOnline.com. I think LAX obviously wasn't there, unless they got back earlier. I'm trying to think of like former guests. No, Mario and Fala did not go. So it was basically just Kevin Matthews and former guests.
They probably figure that Kevin's already been to India, so his intestines are tough enough to take the food for a couple of days. So good on him. Good on him.
Probably. He had a 24-hour travel day. This is all just according to his Instagram and Facebook. He had like a 24-hour travel day back from India, just arrived in Newark a little earlier. So shout out to KM and all the crew at Impact Wrestling who I'm actually excited to go watch the rest of the show. I totally forgot it was on until you mentioned it. So
where
I'm
gonna
go watch it.
Where are you at right now? I know I hit you up when you were in transit earlier. Are you at the Hat? Are you at home?
I am sitting in my car in the parking lot of the world-renowned Harrison Avenue Tavern.
Nice. Well, I haven't rang the bell all fucking night. I get on the phone with you. I've rang it three times in the past 3 minutes.
Yeah. Dude, my check... I just paid $800 to fix my car, and then the check engine light comes on again, which was the problem that I paid the $800 to have fixed.
Take that shit back and tell them it's on them. Fuck that.
I'm going to just drive the car. I'm going to barrel roll out of the car, and this is going to fucking go right in the Crystal Lake of West Orange, New Jersey.
Well, you don't want to say that while we're fucking live on rantdmradio.com, sir. You don't want to implicate yourself.
I'm saying it. I'm dumping this car in the fake pond of West Orange.
Just tell him tell him somebody stole it and took it to Newark. That's all.
That's true, too. I can do
that's
that.
That's all. Fuck that. Leave it in Newark and just fucking throw the keys down the gutter. Somebody will take it.
What time are we on till?
I was actually going to get off in the next couple of minutes because I literally fucking blew through the door. I just threw some shorts on and I came right in the basement. Dude, I haven't hooked up this equipment in 2 months. I'm surprised this shit still works.
Yeah, dude. It's been like, I was like fiending to do something. And like, I know I could always like do something on my phone by myself and then send you an audio file. But, like, who wants to hear just fucking me talk?
I would fucking totally want to hear that.
Without being able to take calls or without being able to do anything. Maybe one day, but I was fiending. I'm like, I need to do the show. But I'm glad you were able to at least do a call time, so to speak, a Skype session, if you will.
Dude,
so.
I did two solo shows, like, back in the beginning of April. One of them I fucking did in the morning before I went to work. I just grabbed the microphone and sat down and fucking recorded. Just fucking... Yeah. You know what, dude? The more you do it, the more you go for it, the fucking easier it is. It's all it is, man.
True. Well, maybe I'll do, like, an Extreme Rules post-game show or something like that on Sunday.
If you fucking did that, dude, I'd totally fucking air it. That would be fucking amazing. And I'm not fucking saying that to be a dick. I'm totally putting that over. That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. That'll also have to require me to watch Extreme Rules. So. All right. Let me, I'll let you go. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin Garifo. That's G-A-R-I-F-O. At Shining Wizards Kevin on Instagram. Wizards Podcast on Instagram. Pro Wrestling Tees. ProWrestlingTees.com/Shining Wizards. We got time top for the summer, so get on that shit.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. The entire old catalog, thanks to Kevin. All fucking long sleeves, tank tops. You want it, you could probably get a fucking Shining Wizards artwork, logo, whatever, on it. Go to fucking Pro Wrestling Tees and get that shit now, son.
That's right, brother. All right, Tony, I will catch you hopefully next week.
Yes, and hopefully the Skype is working a little more gooder next week, too. I apologize once again. Never would I shit on a fellow wizard without them being in the room.
No problem, brother. I'll catch you later.
All right, later. Ah, fucking A, man. A fucking tale of two KGs calling in tonight. I guess I'm pulling this into the station, but before I go, I do have one last question from Summer. Actually, Justin Anderson, let me get back to Inconclusive Breakdown. Jennifer Nangle, a.k.a. Malvolia, apparently she is a fucking... She's got her own web series. She's a writer. She's an actor. She's a fucking script writer. She seems like a real fucking Renaissance lady. And she got some tig old bitties. That's the first thing I fucking noticed. So call me a pig for calling her out. But for Justin's first interview, it's a fucking great job. Go check it out. Inconclusive Breakdown on the iTunes, on the Stitcher, and of course the Shining Wizards Network. I think I plugged everybody. Phil's got a big announcement. Tomorrow night at 9, live on rantemradio.com, right here where you're listening if you're listening live, and if not, go over to turnbucklethrowbacks.com for Phil and the Chopster, Mr. Macaraca, the Macaraca of Staten Island. Hey, put that on a shirt, you fucks. Get that shit on Pro Wrestling Tees. Let me see, Wizards Podcast at Gmail, Shining Wizards on Facebook, Wizards Podcast on Twitter, Shining Wizards on the Instagram, although I think the last picture that's on there is of Kevin's penis. I won't tell you which Kevin. Let's end the show with Summer's question. What is Tony's favorite kind of ice cream? Great, now I got another question from Todd. My favorite ice cream right now as we speak, growing up, actually, I used to like the chocolate malts from Carvel, which I did have one on Saturday night. But my favorite ice cream right now, while I'm in the house chilling, is fucking Belgian chocolate Talenti. Get it when it's on sale because it's expensive. It's fucking good shit. Thoughts on who will win the women's ladder match at Money in the Bank? Todd, we will all win. Anytime there's five women beating the shit out of each other for my entertainment, that's a fucking win. Only if they're in their bras and panties, though. Otherwise, I don't give a shit. Nah, I'm fucking with you. I don't even know who's in the goddamn thing, to be honest with you. Let's say Natty. I want fucking Natty to win. There you go. She deserves it. She's a good egg. And with that, I'm going to find some fucking good music. I don't want to play my usual favorite. Let me see what else I have on here. Maybe I'll play something for my boy Louie, because I know Louie's fucking listening, and I know he fucking loves this shit. Ah, you know what I'm going to play? I'm going to give a little tribute to our buddy Dave Destruction. I know he doesn't use this for his current podcast, but once in a long time ago, and I think this is still his entrance music, because he's your new commentator for WrestlePro. And this is my favorite version. This is by Will Smith Engage. It's called The End of Heartache. And I'm Tony, and hopefully Tuesday we are all back in Studio A. Until then, signing off. Stay tuned on The Rant if you're listening live. Listen to podcast form. Thank you once again. Don't forget iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom. Go to your usual haunts. Leave us a review. It helps out immensely. And we're here to help you out. Make you a little smarter about the world of professional wrestling.